This is the Starting Five, and today on the Starting Five, we're going to take a look at the draft and for the NBA, and we're going to specifically look at the Texas Longhorns. We had one of the Longhorns come up for a workout with the Raptors on Monday, and hopefully we'll see the other one we're going to talk about today come up as well. To do that, I am going to talk with Mark Rosner, who works for a local paper in Austin, Texas, and covers the Longhorns for that paper. So welcome and thanks for doing this.
Sure.
Now, first of all, I guess we'll start with Avery Bradley, who was up for a workout with the Raptors. A lot of the people talking about him, the first thing that comes up from the Raptor perspective is his defense and that he can be a player that will have a positive impact defensively for the Raptors. Talk a little bit about how he plays defense and if he can in fact be that.
Well, I think that's true, although some people may be a little overly excited. I've seen him described as the best defensive player in the country last year, and I'm not sure he was the best on his team. They have a veteran guard named Doğuş Balde from Turkey, who may have been a better on-ball defender, but considering Avery was a freshman, he was great on defense. He really is, and that was his reputation coming in. And which is odd because, freshmen usually don't play defense in college. A lot of freshmen, you come to a program like Texas and you were a star in high school, maybe the best player on your team, and it was almost like your coaches don't even want you to play defense that much because you could get in foul trouble. And but he has always played defense, and so yeah, I mean, the reputation is warranted.
And there seems to be this impression that he can be better on the NBA level than the NCAA level. Why would people be saying that?
Well, some people had him rated the number one prospect in the country last year, and others had John Wall, and obviously Wall turned out to have a much better season last year. I think Avery, offensively just kind of had a mediocre year. He's not a great shooter. He's a good one. He was a little streaky. I think people believe that he'll, at some point, not right away, but at some point, get it all together. He has a nice mid-range shot. If he's going to be an NBA three-point shooter, he'll need to improve his range a little bit, probably. And there were also people who thought maybe he could be a point guard. That's open for debate, I think. And some of it's just because he's 6'3 in shoes and 6'2 without shoes, and so they automatically view you that way when you're that height. If you're that height and you're quick, people are, at least hoping that you'd be a part-time point guard maybe or a combo guard.
Yeah, is that what he's going to be in the NBA, do you think, a combo guard?
He might be, although, I see some people predicting him going 10th in the draft, 12th, 13th. I don't know that you're looking for a combo guy at that spot because combo guys, I think, by nature, are backups in a way. And so, I think they hope he might develop like Russell Westbrook at Oklahoma City. When he was at UCLA, he was Darren Collison's backup at point guard and mostly a two guard. And mostly played point guard when Collison was injured for several games. And now, some people, particularly Sam Presti, the general manager in Oklahoma City, envisioned him playing the point, and he's done well. I think maybe people are viewing Avery that way as well.
And then I talked to a couple people who were at the workouts in Toronto, and they generally liked him, thought he was a nice kid, had a lot of nice things to say about him. What is he like as a person and all of that off the court?
Well, I'll tell you the truth, he was extremely quiet, and he was only here one season, and we didn't get to know him that well. Very respectful and quiet, I would say. We generally interviewed him in groups, groups of reporters. Was never rude, never had a no comment type thing. And, I said he seems like a nice, quiet guy.
And now we go to the opposite end of that spectrum with Damian James, a guy who decided to go out for the draft in his junior year, then pulled back and came back to Texas for his senior year. one of the things that seems to happen with all players that go and play their full 4 years at college is they get the rap of, well, what's wrong with them? What has Damian James improved on from that junior year to that senior year?
Well, it's a good question. I think maybe his jump shot became a little steadier. You know, his biggest strength is that he's a great rebounder, but he's 6'7", and people have always viewed him as a tweener. You know, not maybe big enough to be a starting power forward in the NBA, and not skilled enough as far as dribbling and shooting to be a small forward. And but his shooting was pretty steady last season, and you know, especially when he has his feet set, you know, when he's not trying to create his own shot, when somebody passes him the ball and he's ready to shoot, he became better at that. And you know, he's still working on his defense. That's something people have had a question about. What position can he defend? You know, again, you know, he's not that big. You know, you can't. Some people don't envision him guarding a big man inside, and so he's had to learn to defend the perimeter and chase guys through screens, the whole bit. And I think, you know, what people like about him is he's strong and tenacious going to the boards. He's competitive. You know, he averaged 18 and 10. He blocked more than one shot a game. He led the team in steals. So he's in there always competing and trying.
And for people that maybe didn't follow the Longhorns closely, this was a guy who was really counted on for this team to score and be quote unquote the man at times, I think, for this Texas team in watching them throughout the season.
Yeah, and that, you know, I'm not sure that's you know, the great role for him. You know, they also had Dexter Pittman, who's 6'10", and they tried to make him a go-to guy inside, and it worked for about half a year until people really started coming up with new ways to double-team him and deny him the ball. I mean, Damian was the leading scorer by far with 18 points a game. The next guy was Avery at 11.5. But Damian's not a guy that, at least now he wasn't, a guy where you say, okay, get him the ball and he's going to make a play. You know, could he become that guy? Maybe. But, you know, I think, you know, his ball handling would have to be better for that.
Mm-hmm. And then this is a Texas team that started off the season very well. They were ranked number one in the nation. And then things started to slide for them a bit. For the two guys that we're talking about, what did they do well when Texas was playing well? And what did they not do well when things kind of went south a little bit for Texas?
You know, everybody was playing with more confidence when things were going well. And, you know, the schedule wasn't great early. They did beat North Carolina, which turned out not to be as great a victory when Carolina went in the tank. And they beat Michigan State. The team was playing well then. But then, you know, and then they cratered. They didn't really have a competent, capable point guard. And frankly, the leadership waned down the stretch, and, you know, part of that may have been Damian. You know, he was supposed to be a leader, and I think he tried. But, you know, he's not the guy with the ball in his hands. It's hard when the leader's not your point guard.
Yeah, we have a guy in Chris Bosh here who has to have people get him the ball, so I can relate to that.
Right. He's a senior. He tried to be the leader, but... Again, you know, it's the guy with the ball sort of has to direct people, and that's the point guard. And they didn't have that.
Just in general, what is your thoughts about these guys on the next level? Are these guys who are going to be role players, starters? What can they become?
Well, you know, I think Damian's viewed as a role player because of his in between size. You know, I don't know if he's viewed as a starter. You know, I've seen him predicted to go as high as number 15. I want to say out of the last 10 guys who were drafted at 15, two or three are starters in the NBA. So, you know, it's not like the NFL where, you know, you draft a guy in the third round thinking he's going to be a starter. you know, the NBA, even in the lottery, sometimes getting subs. You know, I think it's early on, Avery. People are all over the, you know, I'm not, this isn't so much my judgment as scouts I've talked to. I mean, I'm not in a position to make these determinations, but from the people I've talked to, I get a feeling Damian's kind of a, you know, probably a sub, maybe on the right team, a starter. You know, if they have people with the skills he doesn't have. You know, Avery, it's early because he's played 1 year on a team that, you know, had a tough time. And he's all over the board. I've seen him predicted to go 10th and 28th. So there's a wide range on him. I think some people do view, if they're looking at him at number 10, they're thinking he's going to start for them someday.
Yeah. And then I forgot to ask this, but same question I asked about Avery, about Damian. What kind of a person is he? What kind of a guy is he off the floor, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, Damian came from a tough background. You know, he's grown up. You know, he was from a tough neighborhood in East Texas. And, you know, Rick Barnes, the coach, has always said he's the kind of guy who wants to please people. He got a little grouchy at the end of the year, you know, with us, the media, because he was getting the same questions over and over about the team collapsing, and him being a senior took it probably more personally than others. And, generally I would say, you know, he was a good guy, a good, serious guy who toward the end just got tired of the whole mess.
Yeah. And then, also, while I'm talking to you, it would be remiss if we didn't talk about a couple Canadians who are coming to the Texas Longhorns in Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph. Now, up here in Canada, there's a lot of excitement about these guys. There's a lot of talk with people in basketball circles about these guys being guys who could be someday heading to the NBA draft as well. And finally, we get another player in the NBA not named Steve Nash, which is exciting.
Well, listen, you know, Nash's replacements on the national level is one of them's Corey Joseph, and the other one maybe Mike Kabongo, who's coming to Texas in a year, another kid from that area.
Yeah, so where do they fit in for Texas when you look at their roster and that? Are these guys who next year could start as freshmen and will be big parts of this team?
Let me say this. They better start, and they better be big parts. they are both needed badly. You know, Texas lost Pittman and James, the power forward and center. They've got one experienced, you know, nice player back in the front court. You know, I think Tristan has to come in and start immediately, and they've had problems at point guard the last 2 years. I think Corey has to come in and start immediately, and I've been watching these kids play on TV for 2 years, and they're both capable of it. But we're not talking role players here. We're talking guys who, you know, potential impact players, McDonald's All-Americans, and, I mean, they, you know, not to put pressure on them or anything, but they do need to come in and play immediately.
And these are guys who, at least in the case of Tristan Thompson, I've heard was a guy who, if the NBA rules were still the same, he probably could have went straight out of high school and went in the NBA draft. That's how good this guy is.
Yeah, well, you know, he has some things to work on. I'm not sure how tall he is, for example. I've seen him listed from 6'8 to 6'10. You know, for a power forward, you know, you generally need to be closer to 6'10, and if you're not, you know, he needs some work on his shooting. He's a terrific ball handler for a big guy. You couldn't tell if he's lefty or righty when he's finishing around the rim. He's so good with either hand, but he's, you know, he's like a 50% free throw shooter, for example, and, you know, needs to work on all of that. And, but, you know, nobody, I don't think anybody, you know, didn't get drafted because of their free throw shooting. I think they're both considered, you know, future first round picks. I don't know how quickly, you know, whenever we make these judgments, we tend to be wrong. You know,
Yeah. People
say, oh, so-and-so's not ready. And it turns, you know, they're ready when somebody's ready to pay them. So, no question they're both NBA prospects, I think.
And, you know, it's interesting that the fact Texas has gone and got two Canadian guys, and you mentioned Balbe, who's another guy who's an international. Texas seems to be taking a much broader view when it comes to recruiting.
Well, you know, I think a lot of schools do. It's just, you know, you have to make contacts, and there are things you have to navigate. You know, when you recruit a European kid, they often have to lose several games of eligibility because of the club teams they've played on had pros on them. That's what happened with Balbe, and I believe the NCAA is becoming looser with that rule, and so that may not be the case in the future. With the Toronto kids, they went to U.S. high schools.
Yeah.
And you know, there was also connection to their AAU program up there with their coach, Roe Russell. But yeah, they always look over there.
Well, thank you for your time, and I'm going to ask you, because you have those two Canadian kids down there, maybe when the NCAA season's on, we can check in on how our Canadian fellow countrymen are doing down there at Texas. Is that all right with you?
Sure. You know, as long as they don't start hip-checking people or something like that, right?
No. You know, I am actually, and my readers know this, I'm probably one of the few Canadians that is not big into hockey, so... They won't be hip checking or poke checking or anything like that.
Okay, good enough.